This is the 28th year that we are doing these cotton insect losses. I've been doing them since 1994. And as a number of you I've already visited with a little bit, I guess the more we go, the interestinger it gets in some ways, and in other ways it's kind of more the same. Let's see. Tim, which way to make this thing go?
Sorry.
Oh, the mouse? Okay. All right. Our percent losses from 1994 through 2007 looks like this bar graph, but if you look from about 2001 onward, it's awfully flat. As you may remember, last year was our lowest loss on record. This year is going to take second place. We're still well below 5% with our current losses, and this year we're also below that number again as well. The cost of management, once again, is also fairly level. And up just a little bit at $57 and about a few pennies in cost in this year. That's just the direct cost that we have. And it's kind of interesting to know that, or to see that we are really kind of level in our losses. The overall losses, if you look at the states there, most of our states are going to fall between 2 and 5% in loss, and only one state, Missouri, I'm taking it back, four states went above the 5% loss just a little bit. Overall, U.S. percent loss is estimated this year at 3.61%, and cost plus loss ended up being about $81.34 per acre, and this includes all of the different inputs that farmers have in their crop. As you can see and pick out your state there, and by the color codes. Oh, by the way, this year is the first year that we've had opportunity to color in Kansas. They did have some losses, and I'll talk about that in just a minute as well. The heliothines, at this meeting, all I've heard is bugs. But when you really come down and shake it all out, heliothis or heliothines are still going to be rated as the number one pest in the U.S. at about 0.9% loss. Now, if we take all the bugs and lump them together, they'll beat the heliothines, but once again, though, if you look this year, most of the states had less than 1% loss, and then most of the others, or at least four of the others, had between 1 and 2%, and then only Alabama had greater than 2% loss, and South Carolina also showed a greater than 3%, 3.5%. BT cotton is one of those things that kind of reaches out and grabs you a little bit. We show the percent of acreages in about 65% of the U.S. acreages are in BT cotton, and I've visited with some of you a little bit in regard to BT and Roundup Ready and have asked the question, and it's kind of interesting, I think, to find out exactly how many farmers would be planting BT cotton alone. In other words, if they had no Roundup Ready, would they still be planting BT? And I think the answer to that, maybe it's still, the jury's still out a little bit, but there are a number of people that would be planting BT cotton just for BT, but the Roundup Ready really enhances that that need because of the varieties and the quality that they get. About 18% of all occupied management goes into BT cotton, and this is compared to about 47% of foliar applications is what it costs. There were this year 7,106,000 acres of BT cotton, and if you can see those numbers in each state, it shows the amount, the percentage of acreage in each state which were BT. The only state that we had no BT listed in is Kansas, and they still have not come upon a worm problem. Lagos was number two, and in that one, they had about a 0.7% loss or 0.678% loss, and as you can see, it's still a Mid-South problem to some great extent, and California, of course, was between the 1% and 2% loss area as well. Lagos is one of those that we're really going to have to deal with, we think, in future years. About $94 million or $95 million is the cost plus loss on Lagos. That figures out to be $8.80 an acre. Thrips were number three. And the thing about thrips is that year in and year out, more states report thrips and thrips losses, or at least infestations of thrips, than any other. 89% of U.S. acres this year had thrips, and the cost plus loss is about $3.70 an acre. This pest is one that probably doesn't cause us a lot of problems, except that it sets us up in a lot of ways in a lot of years. Cotton flea hoppers. This was kind of surprising to me when I started to accumulate these losses, because we show predominantly five states that had cotton flea hoppers, and Texas, of course, the thing about it with Texas, when their average is up, then the whole average goes up. So I think that's probably what gave us flea hoppers as being the fourth most damaging pest in the U.S. In 2007. Aphids, and this was a kind of surprise to me as well, but aphids probably one of the pests in 2007 that was more of a general pest across most of the belt. Most of the states did report some loss to aphids. About 64% of the U.S. acreage was infested with aphids in 2007. Stink bugs, and this is the pest that we think of perhaps as being more prevalent in the southeastern part of the United States, but as you can see, we are beginning to have stink bugs reported in most of the states in some numbers, and stink bugs are probably one of those that are going to come on and be a problem for us. Somewhere in the neighborhood of 50% of the U.S. acreages are infested. This year's loss showed about 20.27% loss to stink bugs in the U.S. Only Florida showed a greater than 2% loss. Spider mites, one of those problems that we have that's always kind of been in the background, and in the last few years has kind of reinserted itself in some ways. There may be some change, maybe because of the change in use of some of the pesticides that we have, but about 31% of U.S. acreages were reported acres of spider mites in 2007. Spider mites are one of those things that we need to keep in mind because, number one, they're traditionally hard to control, but at the same time, we are real short on pesticides, which we can use to manage these critters. Silverleaf whitefly is another one of those that we don't see much of in a lot of the states, but when we do see them, they scare us. And I think one of the real reasons that they do scare us is that the pesticide regime that we have to use in order to manage them, and the cost that they do. We only have a very small acreage that is infested with silverleaf whitefly, But they're one of those critters that that we really want to watch and watch carefully. The remainder of the pest complex, there's about 22 that we report on. I'm going to talk a little bit about the next two or three here just to give you an update. Fall armyworm was reported on almost 2 million acres in 2007. Damage almost negligible, but they're still out there. They're still a niggling problem. And they're one that that probably we're going to have to continue to contend with in one way or another. Some of the BTs are probably going to help us along those lines, and others may lull us to sleep. I did want to mention the fact that boll weevil is still in the picture. It's number 10, and it would be real good if we could drop it to number 20, 21 or 22, or maybe even completely out of the picture. I'm looking forward to that day. Maybe then we can really put that sucker to rest. But it's number 10 this year, and that's a good place for it. Just keep on dropping it lower. Only four states showed infestations to boll weevil in 2007. Texas is the only state that reported lost bales. So we're getting it where we want it to be. Pink bollworm is another of those that we're working on pretty avidly and pretty well, and I think that probably in a great number of places, pink bollworm is probably being managed fairly well. The others, we do have some other pests that are being reported. We're still seeing some darkling beetles in some states. We're still seeing green myriads in some states. Clouded plant bugs is still a problem probably for us in some areas. And then there's some others that we see crop up every once in a while. But by and large, they are negligent problems and problems that we don't generally see a lot of in most years. Wanted to especially thank all of you who are participants in this labor, and it's one of those things that really causes some angst in December for me most every year, and we'll continue to write poetry for you if you don't respond. But I do appreciate your those of you who help, and anybody who has suggestions on ways that we can improve the losses, please don't hesitate to make contact with us. Thank you.
We've got time for one question. Thank you very much. Poetry. It's a poetry question.
you don't call it poetry. I don't. Okay.